good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solek on a beautiful mock draft Monday edition of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Ben, are you back at home? Are you back for your regularly scheduled podcast situation after a nice break on the lake? See what it did there?
Oh my goodness, wow. No, yeah, I am back. I'm in the spot. My voice, I'd like to be like, oh, and now the audio quality and my voice will be better. But really, like, my voice is just always just not great podcasting voice, so it's fine.
Wow, that's
but
not
it
true.
Actually is.
That's not true. I think you got a decent podcast voice.
I appreciate that. This is it's actually like 100%, like, we are back to Mock Draft Monday. Like, there is a 2021 NFL Mock Draft Monday on the Draft Network right now.
This is true.
Mock Draft Monday.
This is true. If we didn't have such an interesting contribution on what we are doing for our Mock Draft Monday here on this podcast, we probably would have taken the whole episode of the pod breaking down Joe Marino's inaugural 2021 mock draft that he put out over at thedraftnetwork.com. But we can't do that. I mean, you should go read it, obviously, because it's, you know, it'll give you great insight on what we're thinking, what players Joe sees as potential first-round picks. And, you know, you could yell at him about where your team is drafting in the draft, even though it has nothing to do with Joe and it's just about Vegas' odds. Go yell at him anyway, because engagement's good for business, right? Am I right?
I accept on Joe's behalf.
We have an awesome format, though, and we had to do this because it's unlike any Mock Draft Monday that we've ever done. You know, we often, when we started doing these Mock Draft Mondays, it was always like, all right, let's change the order up, you know? Like, let's have a different random order for who's selecting which players where. Or, you know, it might be like, oh, you can only pick, like, certain conferences. Like, if a guy went to the ACC, he has to get picked from a school that's in the South or something like that, or a team that's in the South. There's been all kinds of great Mock Draft Monday formats that we've done here on this podcast. But this one is completely unique. And it's
turned it on its head, baby.
It's from Josh Harden, who said to us on Twitter, Mock Draft Monday idea. He says 2019 NFL players stay the same pick, but we're doing 2020.
I think 2019, 2020, it's always impossible to remember which is which.
He said the 2020 players stay the same pick. So Joe Burrow still goes number one. Chase Young still goes number two. Jeff Okuda still goes number three. However, the players are choosing what team they want to go to. The players are the ones drafting the NFL team. So we're switching the order a little bit because the Vikings picked twice in the first round. The Raiders picked twice. Jacksonville picked twice. Miami picked three times, right? And so instead of doing that, we're making it so all 32 NFL teams are available to be drafted within a round. But the players are going to stay the same order, and Ben and I are going to be going back and forth with a little bit of collaboration because it's not as much of a competition to have the players draft where they want to play. This is going to be really exciting, I think.
Yeah, no, because a lot of people have discussed the idea of turning the draft into more of a free agency sort of an approach, in which case the teams would be able to court the players and money would be a factor. Here, Joe Burrow's getting paid, you know, 4 years, $36 million, wherever he ends up. It's just he gets to choose where he ends up. So it's halfway there. It's not all the way there, but it is a cool look into, well, how would prospects decide what team to go to, having never taken an NFL snap, if they had that power?
Yeah. So, like I said, we're going to be going back and forth, but there's going to be a lot of collaboration on all of the picks between the two of us, because I think it's going to be some interesting discussion. Do you want to kick things off, pick it for the odd numbers, or do you want to go evens?
I mean, I have a spicy Joe Burrow take.
Then let's have you. I'll have you go number one. I'll have you go number one. I would not ever rob you of a spicy Joe Burrow take here on this podcast.
It's very kind of you. Okay, so basically what we're looking at is, as a quarterback, I want number one to be able to start. Number two, I want a big market. It's important to me that I get a big market because I have a huge window for sponsorship opportunities. And then number three, obviously, I'm looking for offensive, you know, scheme success, offensive weapon success, potential Super Bowl wins. But for me, like, you know, if you're talking about like a guard, a tight end, wide receiver, maybe they want to go where the team's going to be really good and they're going to win a Super Bowl. But if I'm in Burrow's ear as a quarterback, stuck on this rookie deal, I'd be saying, you go chase sponsorship opportunities immediately. That's
now,
how you're going to make the most money.
Hey, just so everybody's clear, and maybe so I'm clear with you, we're doing this as if we were drafting in April, right? Like the team's situation on draft night this past April, correct? It's not like right now.
Right, correct.
Okay. So, just so we're clear. Just wanted to get that out of the way.
So basically, like, you start going through the teams that might need a quarterback, that might be drafting a quarterback, right? Like we talked about the actual draft, and it's like, all right, Los Angeles Chargers, Miami Dolphins, obviously Cincinnati Bengals. You could throw like Chicago Bears on there, right, if you want to. Whatever.
I think this answer is super obvious, and I'm really interested to see, because I'm 100% in on who I would pick for Joe Burrow or who Joe Burrow would pick. So I'm wondering if you have the same thought process as me here.
Say it on three.
Okay. All right.
One, two, three.
New England.
Oh.
This one's... You want him to go to Las Vegas?
I want him to go to Las Vegas, but I did not think about New England.
Right.
I didn't understand why you were asking about it's the situation in April, not in May, until you said New England.
You could change. You didn't make the pick. This is a collaboration mock draft.
It's New England. It's for sure New England.
It's got to be, Belichick. Right? Because you've got Belichick, Brady's out of there.
Well,
even
thank
though
God
the,
you were here.
Even though the team isn't as strong as it has been in year past, you're with the GOAT, right? You're with the greatest head coach of all time. You're with an offensive coordinator who's been there for a while. You've got a really solid offensive line in front of you that, even though they don't have Skarnacki coach him anymore, I think it's going to be still a stellar offense with Belichick in control. I think this one's, because you just mentioned there, the playing time, the big market, and I think that football is obviously huge in New England in that area coming off the dynasty that they're in.
Yeah.
This one, when I looked at this, and I was with you, I was looking at the situations where it was like, okay, well, who drafted quarterbacks in the 2020 NFL draft, and now where would Burrow go? And then I was like, oh God, wait, New England. Right. New England needed a quarterback.
No, you're very right. And I was thinking Vegas because, like, he could absolutely beat out Carr, Junger, and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. That's a new franchise. You would go and you'd be in Vegas, and then you'd also be making unbelievable money.
Vegas.
Just because you're the face of the new franchise there and whatever. I think Burrow would do great in Vegas. But you don't pass up the opportunity to play with Belichick. So thank God you were here. You're absolutely right. It is New England. Good work, Trev. Now you have Chase Young.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So Chase Young going number two in this prospects pick their own destination mock draft. This one was another one that I thought was pretty easy to me because it's a place where Chase Young would have a path to start right away. It's a contender because, as much as maybe Super Bowl contention right away might not mean a ton to each one of these prospects, when you're picking at the very top and you've got basically your pick of any team, I think Chase Young would pick Kansas City. Like, I don't think that he would have any reservations about this at all because Kansas City really needs a pass rusher, right? They've got their offense figured out. They play, they pick Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 32, basically because it was a luxury pick. A lot of the big edge rushers were off the board, but if we're talking about biggest needs, it's, you know, probably either a corner or a pass rusher. Pass rushers mean a lot. Chase Young was obviously the unanimous number two player in this draft for good reason. This one's too easy for me. Chase Young would absolutely pick Kansas City, the reigning Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. The issue is I really wanted to send Jeff Okuda to Kansas City.
Right, yeah. I thought if we were in a situation where you were picking two and you didn't pick for Kansas City, I'd have been cool with sending Jeff Okuda there. But that was really the only other guy I could have thought of.
Okay, so now it's looking for a team that has a clear starting spot up in a corner. Use a CB1.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. San Francisco.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. This is the
gave a moment of thought to Dallas. But San Francisco, where right now on that defense, literally the only position of concern, and I just wrote about Akeelah Witherspoon for the Draft Network, is they have Witherspoon who just cannot string together five good plays. He has such good peaks, then he's just so inconsistent. And then they have Manny Mosley, who has been really nice to them as a UDFA out of Tennessee, but is not a perfect scheme fit, number one. And number two, he's good, but he's not great, right? So Okuda beats out Mosley. Okuda beats out Witherspoon. You know, you're playing opposite Richard Sherman in what is potentially the best defense in the league right now. So San Francisco, I think, for Jeff Okuda, it's, man. All right, so that's New England, and then that's the Super Bowl. So This is going out pretty much as we expected so far.
Yeah, that's why I kind of said when we were talking in the pre-show, Ben and I were like, should we do all 32 teams available or should we do it like the actual draft order? And it was like, no, we can't do it as the actual draft order because then, you know, San Francisco gets to pick twice and they're just going to be like twice in the top five or something like that. And I wanted to give fun to all 32 teams. So I think that one, it makes a lot of sense. Four, Andrew Thomas, first offensive lineman on the board, or off the board, excuse me. If I'm looking at the teams, which now my eyes automatically go towards like the end of the first round, right? Because these are the teams that I'm probably looking to choose for. My eyes, and let me know what you think about this, immediately go to the Seattle Seahawks. Because this is a team where you get to play for Russell Wilson. Seattle's an exciting place to play. Pete Carroll's a good head coach to play for. And this would be a start right away scenario for Andrew Thomas. Although the Seahawks don't necessarily have the best roster of some of the teams that are left, what do you think about Seattle? Andrew Thomas picking Seattle.
They lose Fant and they lose Ifedi. So he has a starting job.
Yes. Yes.
Do you want to, I mean, like, I like every offensive lineman loves to run the football. And so you're going to run the football a lot in Seattle. So yeah. Play right tackle. He'd have to, because they're leaving Dwayne Brown at left, so he'd have to be playing right tackle. But besides that, it's probably like offensive linemen really like playing there because you get to come off the ball even when you're passing. It's play action, so I think it's good.
Yeah, but he is playing right tackle.
Yeah, that was my first thought. I was like, well, Dwayne Brown's there.
Hmm.
But
what about the Rams? What about the Rams Whitworth situation? Yeah, but I mean, but like Whitworth's old. So, I guess he's probably not starting right away. Is he?
I mean, I think he beats out Havenstein at right tackle again. I want to tell you to send him to Philly because there's no Jason Peters and he can beat out Andre Dillard potentially. But even then, like, you still have a camp battle. It's not like you have a given spot. Tennessee, again, it's right tackle.
There's a lot of right tackle situations.
It's hard to find a good team that
does not have a left tackle. You're right. Yeah. I'll go Seattle. You know what? I'm just going to stick with this Seattle. We'll go the Seattle Seahawks here as the team that Andrew Thomas picks to go to because I think no matter what, there's a starting spot. You know, maybe he'll give left tackle a run for his money.
All right. I have Tua.
Tua at number five.
Tua at number five, and I still have Las Vegas open, which was my initial plan.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, again, so like we're looking at top playoff teams that are still around. Green Bay, no. Minnesota, no. Tennessee, they extended Tannehill, no. Dallas, Philly, Buffalo is like fun if we want to be really annoying, but probably no.
Mm.
Not Houston.
Green Bay is fun if we want to be annoying, but no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think New Orleans is like also in the back of my mind because with no Bridgewater. And obviously you don't believe Taysom Hill is like a long-term quarterback and like you can go be Drew Brees' backup. I thought about New Orleans for like a second for Burrow. Just like,
Hold on here. I got a team that you haven't named yet.
Who's that?
What about Chicago?
Oh, I wouldn't go to Chicago over Vegas.
You don't think?
No, I would rather play for Gruden than Nagy. And I think that I can beat out Carr just as easy as I can beat out Nick Foles.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be honest here. I know that they got the better O-line in Oakland, in Las Vegas, no doubt, but I feel like that defense in Chicago and the weapons you get to throw to in Chicago, you still think Vegas? I'm just trying to throw it.
I like to think of myself as like being like an agent or being an advisor in this situation. I would be like, I don't want to be associated with that Chicago front office and head coaching staff. I know Mayock and Gruden are going to be there in 2 years.
Okay. All right. No, that's fair. That's fair. This is fair.
Yeah, so I'm going to send Tua to Las Vegas. I'm going to make him the face of the franchise in LV. I almost said LA. I'm going to pair him with John Gruden, Super Bowl winning head coach. West Coast offense going to work great for him. Pocket passer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't have Henry Ruggs, but I have Bryan Edwards and Lynn Bowden because the second and third round still work. I don't know. Either way, we're clearly going to get more weapons for him at some point.
Yeah,
it's right. Going to be. I like Tua to Vegas.
Yeah, this it's not a super clean exercise because exactly know how it's going to work out. But so Justin Herbert, another quarterback pick right after this. I just caped for Chicago. Do I send him to Chicago? But then again, do I think that Herbert 100% is the guy over like Nick Foles, who I know could probably manage a team and be, commit less errors in his first year? Then at that point, if the Bears struggle, are they going through a big change? I thought the same thing from Atlanta too. Like how much longer does Matt Ryan have in the tank? Is Justin Herbert a good pick there? I still think I'm leaning Chicago though. I think I'm going to lean Chicago.
You seem to like Chicago as a QB landing spot.
Yeah, I love the defense. I think defense is still going to be good, and I really do just think that if they had competent quarterback play, they've got great weapons around him. Right? They have A-Rob. They've got Anthony Miller. Like they've got a really good team around them. I'll go Chicago here. It's kind of a football city. No, it's not kind of. It definitely is a football city. This is another place
sort of a football city.
This is a place where you could definitely build a brand as the starting quarterback and have the city behind you and all that kinds of stuff. And I'll have some faith in Nagy to get the most out of Justin Herbert. Let's go with the Chicago Bears here for Herbert.
All right. I can't figure out where I want to get Derek Brown at 7. I've looked at Baltimore, which I like, but I'm not in love with it.
Who's Buffalo got as an interior?
I literally just looked at Buffalo.
Because that means that they would have Ed Oliver and Derek Brown.
Right, because right now their one is Vernon Butler and Harry Phillips.
Who did they have last season that was really good as a defense tackle? Is it Jordan Phillips?
Jordan Phillips, and they had Shaq Lawson, but he was Big Ed.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, but they had Jordan Phillips, don't they? Or do they still?
They don't have Jordan Phillips anymore.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so yeah. I feel like that's a big hole that they could fill.
Right. Butler's kind of been a bust. Harrison Phillips hasn't been great so far. So you can go to Buffalo. I mean, do you want to go to Buffalo? If you're like, Buffalo's cold. I would love to
look,
go to Buffalo.
Look, I just checked with the meteorologist, and he was like, yeah Buffalo's
And we can't
cold.
Confirm. I thought about Dallas again.
Wait, hold on. Aren't I supposed to be the resident hates the cold member of this podcast?
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking about Derek Brown, who, if memory
I'm just saying.
Derek Brown.
You've been a big advocate of the cold up until now.
He
this
was
is
born
just
in
this
Alabama,
little different
right?
for me.
No, Georgia.
He was born north of Atlanta.
Yeah, he was born in Sugar Hill, Georgia, and he went to Auburn. I don't think he'd be super stoked about.
So you're looking at you. So you're looking out for Derek Brown. Appreciate it. That's good. Just send him to Baltimore.
No. I have it. Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
Los Angeles Rams. Yeah.
Oh, so you play next to Aaron Donald?
Oh yeah, play next to Aaron Donald.
Ooh.
There's still like even with the Rams struggles last year, there's definitely still a ton of faith in McVay.
Hmm.
No Wade Phillips. That's definitely a little bit of a downturn, but he's fighting with Sebastian Joseph Day and A'shaun Robinson for a starting job. He's going to win that, and he can play one tech, and he can be and eat up space, eat up double teams, play next to Donald, and so he doesn't have to be the best pass rusher, and he's still going to put up mad stats. He's Derek Brown. Yeah, I'm sending him to the Rams. That's a good spot. Go to LA.
This my suggestion here for Isaiah Simmons, who we're picking for number 8, is going to make it's going to make some people ooh and ah. Ben, who had a linebacker need in this draft?
Baltimore.
The Baltimore Ravens.
From distance, of course.
The Ravens getting to plug Isaiah Simmons in at linebacker. It's just too beautiful. I'm pretty surprised that we got to number 8. To pick Baltimore because Baltimore is an extremely good roster, as was evident last year. They have the reigning MVP as their quarterback. They have an incredible defense, an explosive offense to go along with it, a good offensive line. Man, their only real big need was at linebacker, and they just got Isaiah Simmons in this little redraft. Simmons would take 2 seconds to turn in that card where he scribbled as fast as he could, Baltimore Ravens, please, thank God, send tweet, and then he just hands it to the commissioner.
Yeah, that's an easy one, I think, for sure. Isaiah Simmons to Baltimore. You're going to play on that defense.
Yeah.
Wink Martindale. It's going to let you blitz. It's going to let you do everything you did with Brett Venables and Clemson. I think nine is easy, too. I think C.J. Henderson at corner. As I alluded to with Jeff Okuda, I thought about Dallas for a second. We're now, you know, six picks later. I still have Buffalo who needs a corner, too. I have Miami on the board. Henderson obviously grew up in Miami. But they just signed Xavier Howard. I think, to me, you look at Dallas as a extremely storied franchise, clear playoff contender this year, just lost Byron Jones, biggest weakness on the roster. Henderson's absolutely going to come in and take corner one reps, even if they draft Trevon Diggs, right, which like might happen in round two. To me, it's a Dallas. That's a no-brainer. It's the best landing spot left comfortably.
Jedrick Wills at number 10. So there's a couple of teams that I'm thinking about here. Houston, Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay are the three.
Interesting.
That are the three that I'm thinking about because they have offensive line needs. Tampa's situation is one, you're playing with Tom Brady, you're getting to play in that offense. The right tackle job is wide open. You win it, there's no competition there. Jedrick Wills will start day one. Then, when you look to future years, there's nothing super in stone about Donovan Smith being the long-term left tackle for them. So if Jedrick Wills does really well at right tackle, and if he ever has aspirations to play left tackle, mm-hmm. I can't think of a better scenario in the league where he can start at right, a position he knows really well, and then transition into left tackle in years maybe two or three of his career. What do you think about that?
I think both spots make a lot of sense. I think I would not want to be in Houston with the way that general manager head coach situation is going on.
Also fair.
Whereas Tampa, obviously you don't think you have very long for Bruce Arians, but you do have Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
And yeah. You have Tom. You're clearly in a winning window.
I'm going to go Tampa. I'm going to go Tampa here. This is an easy way for him to start right away and then have the potential to be even more in the years 2, 3, and 4 in his career. So I think that this spot makes a lot of sense. And I thought that Jedrick Wills as a prospect would have made a lot of sense for Tampa too.
Okay. So now I'm Mekhi Becton at 11.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a very similar spot as to what you were just in. Still looking at the offensive tackle room. And I'm going to be in a similar spot again when I do Tristan Wirfs at 13. Jeez. So yeah, I think that the two teams that you brought up that you did not pick from, Houston and Pittsburgh, are really interesting. I brought up Pittsburgh being interesting because they have Matt Feeler at right tackle, who like played well for them, but I don't think they have locked in as a starter. And Alejandro Villanueva is a free agent upcoming.
That's a good offensive line spot for either of these guys.
Right. It historically, it's been a good offensive line the way they developed. Obviously, Munchak isn't there anymore, but it has been. So you have an opportunity to win right tackle short term. You have the opportunity to win left tackle next year. The thing is, like, how many years of Roethlisberger do you have? Like, this team could get bad quick if Roethlisberger like gets beat up again and they have to go with Rudolph or Hodges, or if they lose Roethlisberger just like to retirement and then they have to draft a young quarterback. Whereas with Houston, you think that they're going to be better long term. But yeah, I'm going Pittsburgh. I wouldn't want to be sending a guy to Houston.
Hold on, what about him in Philly? What about Mekhi in Philly?
I mean, you get to play with Jeff Stoutland. Peterson's going to be there. Roseman's going to be there. Wentz is going to be there. It's all the things. It's just like, how confident are you that you beat out Dillard?
I mean, if you're Mekhi, probably very,
I'm sending him
right?
to Philly. I'm sending him to Philly, right. Because
I was surprised you didn't bring up Philly, because I thought that Philly was an easy pick here for him.
Yeah, no, it makes sense because Mekhi's permanent left tackle.
Yeah,
they absolutely love size on that offensive line. He is extremely huge.
Breaking.
And then worse, like I'm kind of cheating and looking forward here a little bit, but worse at right tackle maybe makes more sense for Pittsburgh. So I'm going to take Philly at 11 for Mekhi.
We got to look ahead a little bit.
We got to help ourselves out a little bit here.
Henry Ruggs, first wide receiver off the board, going at number 12. I'm looking at two destinations here. Tell me if I'm way off, but Green Bay and Houston are the two teams that I'm looking at for Henry Ruggs that he would probably think about, because it's got to be all about the quarterback situation. And, you know, obviously playing right away. Green Bay, he would easily play right away, and he would get to play for Aaron Rodgers. And yeah. I think that that would be, right now, that's the leader in the clubhouse in my head. Houston, you get to play with Deshaun Watson. I know he's a joy to play
Houston,
with.
But Houston's got, like, Brandon Cooks and Kenny Stills and Will Fuller.
They do. They do.
The team that you didn't mention
that you would mention,
I think he would think about would be New Orleans.
See, I looked at New Orleans, and I did think about New Orleans, too. But obviously,
or Minnesota.
Just adding, ooh, Minnesota's a good one.
Right. Ooh. Only Thielen. No Justin Jefferson.
Oh, they're gonna
put, they put at least two wide receivers on. They put exactly two wide receivers on the field.
No, I like those submissions. I think that they're actually closer to the Houston one that I was thinking about, but this one's got to be Green Bay for me.
It's still Green Bay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You get to work with Aaron Rodgers, who is pissed off. Not as pissed off as he would have been in this scenario, but you get to be Aaron Rodgers' wide receiver one. I think you got to take that. So I think that that's what Henry Ruggs would do, especially from a guy who's coming off of a big play career during his time at Alabama. It's going to be an easy transition for the speedster.
Yeah. All right. I'm Tristan Wirfs. I'm going to Pittsburgh, as alluded to.
Yeah, there we go.
Surprise. Right. So Matt Feeler, who I know like has been playing well, I don't think that Feeler is super in jeopardy of losing his job, but he doesn't have the draft capital, you know, investment. And so you bring, I think Wirfs can come and lobby a challenge for that position, even if he doesn't get it. Like I said, Villanueva being a free agent, Marquise Bouncey and Raymond Foster, both on the inside, are also getting a little bit older as well. So Wirfs does move to guard. That's potential there. Basically, just Pittsburgh offensive line is going to have a lot of jobs opening up in the near future. There are some really bad offensive lines on which he would definitely start. The New York Jets, Washington football team, Arizona.
Yeah, oh yeah. Absolutely.
But I'm not sure, Cleveland too, but I'm not sure he would go to any of those spots over Pittsburgh, so I'm going to keep him in Pittsburgh.
No, I don't think so either. I think that it's easy.
Yeah.
Also gets to continue to wear black and gold. Look at that.
Yep, it's all about the aesthetics.
It's never been about anything more than aesthetics. Javon Kinlaw here at number 14. Some teams that I've got on the radar right now for them. Tennessee is one of them. Moving on from Jarrell Casey. Obviously, they have a lot of faith in Jeffrey Simmons.
I thought about Tennessee for Derek Brown.
But, I mean, getting to pair Kinlaw with Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, I also thought of. We talked about him. We talked about Derek Brown getting to play next to Ed Oliver. That's a pretty incredible young core of interior defensive linemen. Arizona, it needs one, but I don't think he'd go there. I don't think they'd go to Carolina either if they had the choice. I think I'm gonna go with Tennessee. Tennessee's a team that went on a magical playoff run last season. They're certainly, with bringing Tannehill and Derrick Henry back, hoping to duplicate it. So Kinlaw gets to play on a pretty good defensive line. He's got Simmons next to him. Harold Landry rushing off the edge makes a lot of sense for them. And then he gets to be a young core in that defensive line. So I'm gonna go Tennessee for Javon Kinlaw at 14.
All right, I've got Jerry Jeudy at 15, which is nice because we just walked through a couple of wide receiver options for teams, including Houston. We haven't taken off the board yet, including New Orleans, New Orleans is the best team by a mile. It's still here.
Yeah. And it's thinking, funny just because we think about playing time for a lot of these guys,
exactly,
right?
And
it's just
that
New Orleans is
good.
So good.
There's nowhere to put any offensive linemen. There's nowhere to put any secondary players. They have too many good just guys on the roster. So New Orleans, a victim of their own success here. But with Jeudy at 15, I feel really good about Minnesota here in terms of losing a top flight NFL route runner in Stephon Diggs and adding a top flight collegiate route runner who hopes to, if he's successful in the NFL, be a top flight NFL route runner in Jerry Jeudy. They go and they draft Justin Jefferson. Jeudy aligned in a lot of similar spots to Jefferson and was successful in a lot of similar ways to Jefferson, has even more dynamic movement skills. So I think that that's a win for Minnesota. And, you know, are you stoked about the location? No. But they just extended Mike Zimmer. They're about to extend Rick Spielman. And you know that you have playoff potential pretty much yearly in that system. And so that's a good place to land, in my opinion. Minnesota for Jerry Jeudy.
That's a fun one. That's a fun one with him getting to play next to Adam Thielen. I like that fit a lot. Jerry Jeudy was my wide receiver one, so I'd like him as a fit in a lot of different places. AJ Terrell up at number 16, and it's funny because I looked over New Orleans. New Orleans got a big cornerback need. This could be a potential spot for them. You don't love Janoris Jenkins opposite Marshawn Lattimore, but at this point in time, Jenkins did just sign his two-year extension with the Saints. I know that Terrell could beat him out, but there's no guarantee there. Instead, I look at a team like the Indianapolis Colts.
That's exactly where I was looking.
I think the path to playing time is a lot more clear. It's an up-and-coming young team with a players coach and an organization that's got Chris Ballard as their captain. They've been going up every single year. You think they're going in the right direction. It'd be a great organization to get in on with guaranteed playing time early on. And so I think that this is an easy one, sending AJ Terrell to Indianapolis. Well, actually, AJ Terrell sending himself to Indianapolis, drafting the Colts.
Yeah, I keep saying that. Like, we're going to send him there. And it's like, well, he's going to send himself there, actually.
Yeah, he's going to tell us what to do.
Right. It's Rockyson after a up and down, not perfect, not bad rookie season. And it's Xavier Rhodes coming off of two bad years in Minnesota. Those are outside corners right now. So if you're Terrell and you are a top 16 player, apparently, then you go and you say, I'm going to win one of those two starting jobs. And I'm going to be attached to a team that's on the rise. So I agree.
We're halfway through this podcast, so we got to do a little shout out here. Ben, are you much of a cook? Are you much of a, do you get in the kitchen every now and then?
What's the opposite of that?
Not much of a cook. I'll tell you what the opposite is. The opposite of that is the exact target audience for what we're about to talk about.
Hello.
And that is, the Locked On is now partnering with DoorDash. You know, everybody knows that there are all kinds of services out there where you can order your favorite takeout and they will bring it right to your door. But if you use DoorDash and you use the promo code Locked On, which how you do it is you go to your app store, whether you're on an Android or an iPhone, doesn't matter. You just download the DoorDash app. And when you do, you use the promo code Locked On, no spaces, all caps, just Locked On, and you get $5 off and zero delivery fee on your first order of $15 or more, which if you're me and you basically are a human garbage disposal and need everything, $15 in one takeout order is easy money.
You so don't got to tell me twice, brother.
It's a free $5 off. Guys, that's all you've got to do. We know everybody is at home a lot more. By using DoorDash and by using this promo code, you can enjoy your favorite takeout in the comfort of your own home. So download DoorDash. Use the promo code Locked On, get $5 off and zero delivery fee on your first order of $15 or more. I know I'm going to be using that. Let me think about it in like 6 hours.
Immediately.
All right, CeeDee Lamb now at 17.
CeeDee Lamb to Arizona, full send.
You remember
when? I'll never forget when Lamb was being rumored as a trade, as a pick at 8 for the Cardinals, and then I was like, no, they're not going to spend at wide receiver. They made a lot of picks there. They have rotational guys. They have such bigger needs. And then the Cardinals traded for DeAndre Hopkins. And I was like, finally, this will be over now. And I looked immediately to your timeline. And you were like, they're still drafting CeeDee Lamb. And I was like, Trevor, I can't do this with you anymore. Okay.
And now you're drafting CeeDee Lamb.
I was kidding. It wasn't real.
Oh, you're not?
Of course not. That's ridiculous.
Well, now I'm sad.
Well, now I'm sad.
We got to restart this so I can do the odds. I should have seen this. You know, I should have looked to the future and seen this, that you were going to blow this for CeeDee Lamb. This is what the people wanted, Ben.
Yeah, but people aren't getting it.
The people have been waiting for DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, CeeDee Lamb to be on the same team with Kyler Murray throwing them the ball, orchestrated by Cliff Kingsbury. And you're going to take that away from the good people?
I will, because I take Mock Draft Monday seriously, which is to say, like, one out of 100 degrees of serious, but it's the most serious I can be about Mock Draft.
All right, guys,
Monday.
I tried.
All right. I'm looking at New Orleans for Super Bowl contention. Mm-hmm. Maybe I win the wide receiver 2 job over Manny Sanders. And I'm looking at Denver. Mm. Cortland Sutton, and then nobody else.
And then, yeah,
you
can't.
No KJ Hamler yet. No Jerry Jeudy yet. No Jerry Jeudy at all. Drew Lock. looked good last year. Offense is on the rise. Am I that sold on Denver? I don't think I am. Emmanuel Sanders, what, signed a 2-year deal with the Saints?
Yes, I believe so.
Not the healthiest player in the history of the NFL. Michael Thomas. I mean, there's so many targets to go around.
It would be a struggle for CeeDee Lamb to see the field if everybody is healthy in New Orleans.
You think so?
Yeah, because I think they're going to use Jared Cook more. They're obviously going to use Alvin Kamara in the passing game as well. Michael Thomas has been their steady Eddie. I think that...
So if they're an 11,
Emmanuel
what,
Sanders
put
is super
Taysom
versatile.
Hill out there?
No. I don't think that they are, but if they're an 11?
If they're an 11 personnel, who's wide receiver 3? Tre'Quan Smith? Keith Kirkwood?
No, it would be CeeDee Lamb, but like I'm just saying that there are other destinations in which CeeDee Lamb is much more of a focal point and gets on the field a lot more than he does in New Orleans. Does that matter to him as a guy who has been the man in Oklahoma?
Well, let's look at teams that have good quarterbacks.
Okay.
Detroit, he's 3 behind Jones and Galladay.
All right.
Arizona, he's 3 behind Fitz and Hopkins, and maybe 4 behind Kirk. Atlanta, he's 3 behind Ridley and Julio. New Orleans, he's 3 behind Breeze and Sanders, behind Michael Thomas and Sanders. Houston is the weird one, right?
Houston's definitely the weird one.
Right, okay. So they trade for Brandon Cooks.
I think he could be wide receiver 1 in Houston.
Okay, but they trade for Brandon Cooks.
Uh-huh.
They sign Randall Cobb. It's like a decently sized deal, and they still have Will Fuller.
Yeah.
It might be Houston, just because of the uncertainty.
I don't hate the New Orleans pick. I don't know. Like I just think that it will be somewhat of a struggle. Not a struggle, I guess, because Lamb's amazing. But you guys know, you know what I'm saying.
I'd be so worried about Deshaun Watson. Just like
Houston and Denver, he has the best chance to kind of start right away.
Yeah. All right. Houston. But I don't love it. And okay. I'm scared. Oh, sorry.
Should just pick freaking Arizona and we wouldn't have to have this conversation.
No, we wouldn't have had.
Austin Jackson at number 18. A surprise offensive line pick getting picked this early. Who's left that's got big O-line needs? Arizona's a team with an O-line need. The Chargers. Denver could potentially, depending on how much faith you have in the guys that are there right now.
Yeah,
Cleveland,
go beat out Garrett Bowles, right.
Cleveland's an example that could work. What's Cleveland's offensive line look like without Wills?
Right, so without Jedrick Wills, they signed Jack Conklin to be the permanent starter at right tackle.
Right.
But you have Chris Hubbard as your swing tackle behind with no, like, you know, like you have Joel Bitonio, who maybe can kick out to tackle if you want to, but I wouldn't recommend that. Then J.C. Treader and Wyatt Teller. So to me, that job's wide open. And then the right tackle job in L.A., if he wants to stay in California, beat out Sam Tevi for the right tackle job with the Chargers. Those are, like, the open jobs. But are the Chargers going to be good?
Let's do... yeah, because they're not drafting Herbert, so it's Tyrod. You know what? I'm going to say the Chargers. I'm going to say the Chargers because I like the point that you made there. I think that staying relatively close matters. You know, we see that matters in recruiting time. And so we haven't brought that element into this equation yet. So why not? I think the job is his to win, and I think that he gets to stay on the West Coast.
Yeah. Feel great about getting Damon Arnett at 19 to Buffalo. Because Buffalo is really one of the few spots we've got left in which there's playoff caliber potential and the clear starting gap. And I literally just wrote about this for the Draft Network. It's dropping on Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this. The Bills don't have a clear starter at CB2. Levi Wallace, Josh Norman, EJ Gaines opted out of the season. They drafted Dane Jackson. They're going to have a rotation there again, probably. And it's not going to be bad, but it's not going to be pretty either. I think Arnett beats out Norman. I think Arnett beats out Wallace. Does he look like a typical Bills corner? No, but Arnett's the one choosing, not Buffalo. So that looks like a Damon Arnett job is what I'm trying to say.
Talk me out of Ke'Lavon Chaisson choosing the Cleveland Browns at 20.
Detroit.
Detroit is a place. Do you think
this is effort?
Do you think that he would believe more in Detroit or Cleveland? Man, we still have New Orleans on the board.
I was about to say New Orleans has Cam Jordan, but Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport. He's not playing.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, get a worse roster.
Cleveland
New Orleans
or Detroit?
Is killing us.
Cleveland or Detroit? Cleveland's got Vernon opposite Garrett. Detroit's got literally no one. All right, hold on. I'm pulling up Detroit's depth chart so I can make sure again. They got Trey Flowers.
Arizona, they drafted Jones.
He could go to Arizona and rush opposite Jones. Ooh, that might be fun. He might enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, because they got, like, you know, Zach Allen and John Bullard and whatever, but they don't have another, like, stand-up outside guy.
You know what? I'll go with that. I'll go with that now. I think that sounds to me the most alluring is getting to play on the other side of Chandler Jones. You know you're not going to get attention the first couple of years. You're going to be able to go off.
Joseph's been good for edges. Like, he wasn't a great head coach or nothing. Sure. He's been good for edges.
Yeah, yeah. No, I completely agree with you. I like that situation a lot better.
Okay. Jalen Reagor at 21, wide receiver. I got Denver and New Orleans, on whom I was debating previously. I mean, like, okay.
I'd go to New Orleans if I'm him. This is the situation where I'd go to New Orleans.
Right. And, like, the thing is, if he doesn't go, again, cheating and looking forward a little bit, Justin Jefferson, who went to LSU, is going to stay, and he's going to go to New Orleans.
Oh, wow, you're right.
Right. The thing with Reagor.
Jalen Rager's going to Denver.
Well, the thing about.
Hope you like Reagor, Mile High stuff.
The thing about Reagor that to New Orleans that I really like is you watch what that coaching staff has done with Taysom Hill, and you understand that they're, even with Alvin Kamara, they do a really nice job getting athletes into space on easy touches. And Reagor can be so much more than that, but that's what he had to be at TCU, and he was so good in that capacity. He also take over returning responsibilities as well. So I think that Reagor, more so than like Lamb, even though Lamb was so good at scheme touches as well at Oklahoma, even more so than Lamb or like Judy or whatever, can find playing time as a wide receiver 3 in New Orleans if he doesn't beat out Emmanuel Sanders. So I'm sending Reagor to New Orleans. Screw you.
Oh, come on. Come on.
What do you want? It makes sense.
Yeah, I know it makes sense. But you just robbed Justin Jefferson of his dream.
Yeah, well, that's because he's your pick and not mine.
First, you take away CeeDee Lamb from Arizona. Now you're taking Justin Jefferson away from
Arizona. Yeah, you're going to ruin the podcast.
The good people don't need to be reminded. All right, well, Denver or. No, yeah, it's probably Denver.
Yeah, it's, you had nothing. It's probably Denver. It's so hard.
I guess Detroit would be on here, but you're not seeing nearly as many touches. Not Denver. I mean, like, they're going to scheme everything around you. It's going to be Cortland Sutton on one side, Jalen Reagor on the other. You're going to be such a big emphasis on what they're doing. Justin Jefferson is going to be on the other side. So
it's sad because, like, teams like Cincy and Miami would be so good if they had quarterbacks that we have taken away from them.
I know. Right? It would be a lot more alluring of situations. But, you know, I guess that's the backside of this draft. Hey, by the way, you know how, like, different franchises have different names for the guys that they put up, like the Ring of Honor. Like, Tampa's got the Ring of Honor. You know what I'm saying? Like, what does Philly have? You know what Philly's is?
I feel like it's just the Philly Hall of Fame.
Okay, so it's a Philly Hall of Fame. Why isn't Denver's the Mile High Club?
All right, on to 23.
Come on, this is brilliant. Somebody get John Elway on the phone.
On the line.
On the phone. I got ideas, and I'm trying to get them out.
Yo.
The Mile High Club. The Denver Broncos' best franchise players ever. It's the Mile High City, and it's a club. I don't understand.
It's like a 70-year-old offensive lineman from the 70s and the 80s. You're like, welcome to the Mile High Club. And, like, he has no idea why that's funny. all right.
John Smith, welcome to the Mile High Club. Dude, this is a phenomenal idea. I don't care. Screw you.
All right. I'm trying to figure out where to put Kenneth Murray now.
You just get in the way of my brilliance, and I'm just tired of it.
Where does Kenneth Murray go? All of these teams are bad. like, even if you wanted, even if you like, all right, he can beat out Jared Davis in Detroit.
Wouldn't he go to Cleveland? Mm. Right? Linebacker need? Plays right away? Cleveland's good? I mean, good.
Sione Takitaki, Mac Wilson. They don't have Jacob Phillips yet. Yeah, Cleveland. You're right. Yeah. Good call. Yeah. Okay. Kenneth Murray to Cleveland. It's one of the few teams left that I would say has legitimate playoff aspirations, hopes, you know, long shot odds for this upcoming season. And with the departure of both Joe Schobert and Christian Kirksey in free agency, they're only replacing those guys with the young dudes they already have on the roster. So Murray enters the camp battle. And with his draft capital, you expect him to win it. So, yeah, Murray to Cleveland.
All right, we're coming up to the bottom of the barrel of ideal destinations.
I feel so bad for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, man.
For certain teams. Oh, boy. These teams I'm looking at. Okay, so we're up to Cesar Ruiz, number 24 in the draft. Center from Michigan, really good football player. The only, like, fun destination I have left is Atlanta, but they've got Alex Mack. So that's not going to work out.
Sure, but I mean, if he can play guard for you, he's
this is true.
Left guard spot is James Carpenter, who's like fine but beatable.
This is true. I think he can play for somewhat of an exciting offense, an offense that at least gains a lot of yards under Dirk Cutter. Got Matt Ryan. They've got good young wide receivers, or they have Calvin Ridley, and then they obviously have to go with Julio Jones. All right, I'll do Atlanta. Okay, I don't really like any of the other destinations for him. I don't think Detroit makes a lot of sense, and Detroit would really be the only other team that you would necessarily want to choose to go to if you had your pick of these teams. Atlanta makes more sense. The Alex Mack was a roadblock in my mind, but I suppose he could play somewhere else on the interior offensive line, and that would make sense.
Right. All right, now I have Brandon Ayuk, a wide receiver. We've bled out all the good quarterbacks. I mean, Detroit's left. They have, so like if you put Ayuk in the slot, right, he's fighting with Danny Amendola, if memory serves.
Yeah, Danny Amendola's on the team.
Marvin Jones.
Brandon Ayuk could, never mind. I was thinking about Jacksonville, but no, not really.
Brandon Jones, Kenny Golladay.
I mean, the Jets, the dude would play immediately.
Right. Well, that's the team that I was legitimately thinking of is Miami, because you've Preston Williams and Devontae Parker on the outside.
Yeah.
You get to put him in the slot over Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson.
Hmm.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is solid for what quarterbacks we have left, and he also gets to live in Miami with the team that's
which is good. Why, Ben? Since you attacked cold weather earlier in the show, you better stay on brand right here.
I feel like
you better stay on brand.
Listen, because people like the weather there.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Generally, people like the weather there. I'm sending him to Miami.
Okay.
To me, that it's better than being attached to one of these, like, you know, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, who hasn't looked amazing so far. You also don't necessarily want to be with those franchises. This is a franchise that's on the rise. It's great, enthusiastic, attractive young head coach, great location, and you expect them to be getting a star quarterback within the next year, even though they don't have one now because we took it from them. So I'm sending Brandon Ayuk to Miami, and we're officially now, you know, at the stage where you just start picking on location and on future promise.
Right. Yeah, that's we've definitely reached that point. And what better player to reach that point with than Jordan Love at number 26 overall?
Oh, wow. I totally forgot this would be a thing.
Yeah. So looking at the situations that are left, Teddy Bridgewater just signed a deal in Carolina, or else I would feel like that would be the best spot for him. Maybe it still is. Detroit's got Matt Stafford. That's not a good spot. That's basically as bad as the Green Bay Packers drafting Jordan Love in the first round. Cincinnati has a major quarterback need. You are starting right away. But obviously an uncertain situation in that franchise. Jacksonville, they started Gardner Minshew, so it's not like the job's 100% yours right away, but you figure you could probably beat him out, although Jacksonville has been not the most stable franchise, I'll just say that. Dwayne Haskins is in Washington. Daniel Jones is in New York with the Giants. All right, Ben, I'll ask you this. Do you think Jordan Love would care more about playing right away or playing for a better situation long term? Because I have two teams, one on each side
of
this.
I think better situation long term, understanding that he's coming out of the Mountain West and he had a bad season and whatever.
Then I'm picking Carolina. Then I'm picking
I think that's a great pick. I think that's an excellent, excellent pick. I want Joe Brady. I don't want don't even remember the Jason Garrett in New York. I don't want any.
I don't even remember who it is.
Yeah, literally, I was like, whoever Joe Judge got, I don't remember, it was Jason freaking Garrett.
It's
yeah,
Jason
no.
Garrett.
I would have wanted Zach Taylor in Cincy or Joe Brady in Carolina.
Those were my two, basically. But I think that there's more stable of a situation and a better long-term outlook in Carolina, even though you're not getting the job right away with Bridgewater there.
Yeah. I've got Jordan Brooks at 27.
Nice, man. Dude. Congrats.
Freaking sick. Jordan Brooks, do you want to beat out David Mayo for a starting job in New York? Play for Joe Judge. Good defensive background. Patriots. Looking at anywhere else. Don't want to go to New York Jets. Hate Adam Gase. Don't want to go to Washington. Owner's terrible.
Great
Detroit
points.
Is Jelani Tavai and Jamie Collins. Matt Patricia's probably going to get fired. Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Who are Cincinnati's linebackers?
Cincinnati drafted like 18 linebackers, didn't they?
Not yet, they didn't.
Well, right. That's what. But like, they clearly were trying to address the linebacker position.
Right. So it's Jermaine Pratt, and then it's nobody, right? And they're hoping that Josh Bynes and Logan Wilson.
Yeah, this is the easiest path.
Yeah. Cincy, because I've got playing time. Yep, I'm going to Cincy with Jordan Brooks.
Patrick Queen, linebacker, immediately after at 28.
Oh, frick! I forgot. Oh, sucks for you.
No, I'm picking Detroit. This one's easy for me. I'm going to a defensive head coach. I'm getting in a situation where, yeah, it's a little shaky, I guess, with the current regime, but you're playing next to Jamie Collins, Jelani Tavai. I think that Patrick Queen can absolutely solidify himself in that linebacker room. Jerry Davis is still on the team, but from everything that I've read,
shout out Jerry Davis.
Not been great. So I'll go Detroit here.
Okay. Isaiah Wilson would start in New York. Would not start in Jacksonville. Would not maybe start in Washington. Okay. Jets or Giants? I'd rather be with the Giants.
Yeah, I'd rather play for the Giants.
Yeah, I'd rather play for Jason Garrett, for Joe Judge. Ownership is solid. GM might get fired versus the Jets, where I have no idea what to believe. That entire offensive line got retooled in New York, too. So, like, you're not going to have great veteran leadership because everybody's still learning the system. So, the Giants, man, if you had asked me the last three teams left, I would have guessed the Jets, Washington football team, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's the exact three that we have left.
These are the three that we have left. I'm taking the Jaguars off the board right here for Noah Igbinoghene. You know, Jacksonville's got a good cornerback lineage as of late, I guess is what I'm going with. It's basically, I'm not going to play for the New York Jets because Adam Gase is clearly not meant to be a head coach. And I'm not going to pick the Washington football team because of everything that's going on there, probably just not a great destination. So Jacksonville had a major cornerback need. You get the start right away and maybe be the next in line after AJ Bouye, Jalen Ramsey, all those guys. So there you go. Yeah.
This is funny because like it was getting hard there in the middle and I was like, oh, this is going to be really hard by the end, but it's actually kind of not. There's only X number of teams left and they all suck. So there's starting jobs everywhere you look. So yeah, no, I've got Jeff Gladney now at corner. The New York Jets and the Washington football team. I would not want to be associated with the Washington football team right now. And with New York, I did just sign Pierre Desir to be starting at one outside spot for me. But my second outside spot is a fight between Arthur Millette and Quincy Wilson, bless Austin. It's not locked in at all. The nickel job's done, but Gladney's got the outside job locked down. I think he goes there. So I'll go to New York. Hey, Greg Williams, that was a good defense last year. It's not the worst defensive coordinator to get associated
it's not.
31st pick here, yeah.
And this was the right pick, I think, for you. Jeff Gladney going to the Jets over Washington, I think is clearly the right pick. He can start right away, and you listed a lot of good reasons there. I think Greg Williams, there's been a lot of opinions about Greg Williams over the years, but he's a good defensive coach, and I thought he did pretty well last season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that means that the last pick of the draft, number 32, he is going to Washington, which is sort of unfortunate for him because Washington has Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson on the roster. But at the same time, Darius Geis hasn't played at all because of injury. Adrian Peterson is old. Bryce Love hasn't played at all because of injury. So, I mean, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just healthy, he might be RB1 on that team anyways. So, not an easy path to start, but There's still room for Edwards-Helaire to become RB1 in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to paint the pretty. I'm trying to be optimistic for the man. I feel bad for him. He's getting the last pick. That would be, man, if this was actually how the NFL draft went, that would be something. That would truly be something. I don't know how you would come up with the order of which players are picking first, but that was a very fun exercise. Big shout out to Josh for sending us this format on Twitter. We read all the formats, you guys, whether it's on Twitter, on Instagram, on the premium Slack. You guys send us Mock Draft Monday formats all the time, and I honestly can't remember the last time we did a Mock Draft Monday format that wasn't a fan suggestion. You know, like it wasn't a format that a fan said to us and came up with. And so when you tweet at us, we listen, and a lot of these are a ton of fun. This one was no different. On tomorrow's episode of the podcast, we're getting back to the summer scouting series. We are moving on to the edge rusher position. We'll have four guys that we're going over their film on tomorrow's episode. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.